Well, I debated quite some time as to whether or not I was going to continue out of the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew this morning or not. As you know, I started on it last week and didn't get very far. But it didn't seem like I could get away from it. So I'm going to pick up from that 24th chapter again out of the book of Matthew. And start off with the 12th verse. Let me back up, because I think I probably had read through the 10th verse, and then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And I think I'd basically covered that. I'll never cover all of it. Just rest assured of that. There's always going to be something. You could take the same scripture and read it every week, every day of every week, and every time you read it, probably see something in it that you had not seen before. I say that having done just that thing for a few times, just simply because as I read it, I think, my goodness, you know, I know I just read that, and I did not see that or did not understand that. And it's always amazing how God will open up His Word. So please don't think you can just read it one time and say, well, I've read that before, and that you've got it all. If you have, you should be up here instead of me, because I know for sure this morning that that's not the case with me. Anyway, he says, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And last week I said, I will tell you, according to the word of the Lord, when the end is going to come. And this is what Jesus said to the disciples. He said, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Now, the kicker in that is that none of us know when the gospel has been preached as a witness to all of the world. Now, I recognize that our world has shrunk today, and that there are people who would maintain that there isn't any civilized nation as to where the gospel has not been sent to at this point in time. But I would challenge that. I would challenge it again that if that has happened and that witness has been proclaimed as the word of the Lord teaches that it should, then it would be over with. We wouldn't be here this morning. And I again want to be sure that you understand there are none of us who know exactly when that time is going to come. None of us that are alive here this morning know when the Lord is going to finally say, it is enough. It is enough. He is going to say that one of these days. He's going to look down here upon the earth just as He did in the days of Noah, whenever that men were living the way they were. And He said, you know, that's enough. I will destroy a man from off the face of the earth. I'll literally destroy him. And man is going to be destroyed again one of these days. Now, let me also just say to you that we've got a lot of people who say we're going to destroy ourselves. I would question that. I think probably, again, that God is going to reserve that, and that destruction will come when He gives the word and not before. We're going to get ourselves in a terrible shape. We're already in a terrible shape, whether we like to admit it or not. In many respects, we're probably in much worse shape than we want to admit. However, it is going to continue to be worse. And when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whosoever readeth, let him understand. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Let him which is on the housetop not come down to take anything out of his house, neither let him which is in the field return back to take his clothes. And woe unto them that are with child, and to them that give suck in those days. But pray ye that your flight be not in the winter, neither on the Sabbath day. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and they shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. Behold, I have told you before. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, he is in the desert, go not forth. Behold, he is in the secret chambers, believe it not. The Lord again is saying to the disciples, there's some things that you just, you know, you need to be aware of. You need to understand. And those things are still applicable today. There are things that we need to be aware of. We need to understand. And most importantly is, and he's mentioned this already a number of times, that there's going to be a lot of deception. I marvel at the deception that goes on today in our world. Deception beginning right from the pulpit, right from the churches that run under the banner of Jesus Christ, to those who make no pretense that they're not Christian, but are deceiving many, many people. People every once in a while will say to me, well, what do you think about this or that phenomena that's going on? And I say, well, I believe it. I believe it, you know. I have no reason to not believe some of the things that are happening today that are just beyond normal explanation or us to be able to understand. But don't think for a second that Satan doesn't have powers today to be very deceptive to people and to cause them to believe what he wants them to believe. He still is a powerful force. He's still a powerful force. In fact, his whole authority is here in this world. God has granted him the right to come and to be here, and he's still working just as hard today, maybe so, more so than he ever has, and he's doing a fantastic job of being able to deceive the souls of men and damn them for eternity. Now, don't ever doubt for a second that he isn't powerful. I recognize, according to the Word of God, that God still is all-powerful and that God is more powerful than Satan is. But don't think for a second, people, that you are immune from his influences, from his power, because he's going to do everything he can to convince you and to follow him as much as he can get you to as one of his children, as one of God's children, because he knows that God already has you forever, but he's going to use your influence just as much as he possibly can. Nor mention in his comments, you know, that children, they don't hear us, they see us, and that is so true. You know, I use that expression quite often. I say, I can see you, but I don't hear you. Because many times we're talking one thing and we're doing another thing. We're not always on the same page with those who say. Anyway, this was the verse that I originally started out with that I wanted to be sure that we understood. This next one. For as the lightning shineth, as the lightning cometh out of the east and shineth even unto the west, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. And my whole point there, and the thing that I would want you to understand, is how quickly this is going to happen. We cannot even begin to comprehend how fast the Lord can cause these things to all start falling into place. I don't care how many times you read the Word of the Lord, and I don't care how many charts you've looked at that all of these great minds that are studied in the Word of God, and how that they can chart this all out for you and tell you, well, this is what's going to happen, this is going to be the procedure and everything. I will guarantee you you aren't going to have time to look at the chart. You aren't going to have time to sit down and study and say, well, you know what? Now, I don't believe that this can happen before that happens. When God gets ready to do this, it can happen very quickly. And he's not going to have to ask you. He's not going to have to ask me whenever he can do it. When he starts, it's going to happen quickly. And you're going to say, well, what part of it? Well, I'm not even going to put myself out on the limb to tell you exactly what part's going to take first place first. But I can tell you that all of these things that are taught in the Word are going to be fulfilled. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, a little later here, and I may not get to this morning, but it says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. So, you know, it's going to be fulfilled. It'll be fulfilled, one of the writers says, to a jot and to a tittle. It's going to be fulfilled right down to the nth degree. God is going to bring this to pass, and it's going to happen very quickly. We you know, for some of us, it may be that death will overtake us first. We never know when that's going to happen. I was talking to the gentleman last night, and I told him, as I've told you all, I said, you know, they were talking about the place out there and complimenting about it. And I said, you know, I told my daughter not long ago, now she'll be watching this, and she'll hear me say this again, because she watches me about every week. And then she says, Dad, you know, you either forgot to say something or you needed something else in there. And so I've got a good critic now, since I don't have Shirley. I've had a replacement, I think, for her. But anyway, I told her, I said, you know what? And I was telling her last night, I said, you know what? I truly pray. And I recognize we don't get an answer to our prayers always. They don't always come out the way we want. But I said, I truly pray that I can just be out here and just like that, drop over, and I'm gone. That would be an answer to my prayer. So if that happens, you all know, old Parson got a prayer answered. Now, if it doesn't happen, you can say, well, his prayer ain't any better than anybody else's, you know. And they're not. But you know, death is going to come to each one of us. And we cannot determine the very moment that that's going to take place. As much as we think we can, we don't know. But it is going to happen. Now, is the rapture going to happen? Absolutely, it's going to happen. When's it going to happen? I can't tell you. I don't know. But I know it is going to happen. And when it happens, it's going to be quicker than anybody can even imagine. When God gets ready and He says the word, things will begin to take place. And now listen, He said, for wheresoever the carcass is, there will the eagles be gathered together. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. And then shall appear the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And He shall send His angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together His elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. You may remember, and I'll just leave you with this in closing, and I'm going to stop right there at the 31st verse. But you may remember whenever that the Lord ascended back into heaven after the resurrection, that the angels came to those people who were standing there and said to them, "What, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus, as you have seen Him go, will come again in power and in glory." And when the Lord comes the second time, the first time He came as a servant. He came obedient to the will of the Father. He came as a child. He was brought into this world and was subjected to everything that we have been subjected to. But when He comes again, He's not going to come as a little child. He's not going to come as a servant. He's going to come as a King of Kings. He's going to come in power and glory. And I will guarantee you, every eye shall see Him. Every knee shall bow to Him. People are going to say, well, you know, I see this quite often, and I cringe always a little bit about it, because people say, well, you know, what if the rapture come and I didn't know about it? Well, I'll guarantee you they're going to know about it. They're going to know about it. It's going to be a spectacle that never has been seen before. Whenever the graves begin to burst and the bodies begin to come forth and they're reunited. I'll guarantee you, for those people who are alive, but you aren't going to be first. No, there's an orderliness even to those things. You just got to get into the Word of the Lord and see how this is all going to take place whenever it happens. But I'll guarantee you, there isn't anybody that's alive that's not going to be about it, know about it. And there isn't anybody that is already going on to heaven isn't going to know about it, because they're going to come back to get that body of theirs that they left behind. Yeah. The old prophet, he said he saw those bones out there in the valley of dry bones, and he said whenever that the word was spoken and breath was being, the bone came into its bone. Man, they didn't get mismatched for anything. I'm always astonished. I'm amused sometimes whenever our magnificent scientists get together and they put these bones together and make these prehistoric animals, and they find out sometimes they've got the wrong bones with the wrong bodies. Let me tell you something. There isn't going to be any mistake whenever that this takes place. It'll be right bone to right bone. Yeah. Well, I'm way off my subject. Listen. It's going to happen one of these days, folks. This is all going to take place. We would like to be like, we are like the apostles who would like to have known, Lord, just tell us specifically, when are these things going to happen? Yeah, we'd all like to know that. Is there anybody here that wouldn't really like to? I don't want to know, old baloney. You do too. I don't want to know the moment I'm going to die. I'd be worried about it from now on, probably. And yet I know that death is going to be one of the best things that's ever happened to me outside of being saved. Yeah, that was the best thing that'll ever happen to me. The second best thing that'll ever happen to me is when the Lord says, come on home. Yeah. And that'll be true of every child of God. I have no reservations whatsoever about standing and preaching that when I preach the funeral of a person who's been saved. I say the best trip they ever made was when they made that trip from earth to heaven. Be the fastest trip we'll ever make, Dan. Yeah. I'd ride. I caught myself the other day and I thought, you know, as an old man, I still drive pretty fast. And I do. I can remember how that I used to think my pastor, who he wasn't quite as old as I am now, honey. And I think, Lord, that man is just driving wild, you know. And he did drive pretty fast. He only had one eye to see out of. I've got both of mine still. Anyway, but no matter how fast I've ever driven, how fast I've ever gone, nothing compared to when the Lord says to the angel, bring him on home. He's going to have to say it to several. Not because I'm that big, but because I've had so many guardian angels watching over me. I had to have more than one, Dan. I know that. I mean, most of you just have one guardian angel, but I've got a lot of them because I'm so much trouble to them. But anyway, that's going to happen one of these days for every one of us. It's going to come fast. We're not going to have time, folks, to turn around and say, well, you know, I've got some loved ones that I'd like to say one more thing to. Not going to have the time. So say it now. Say, I love you. I love you. Thank you. I'm sorry. If you have to say that, say it now.